Good morning. It's a joy to open God's Word with you this morning. I have a story in the beginning to start with that I heard a few weeks ago. And this story is from someone whom the Lord used to translate the Bible to many languages. And he was sharing about the challenges that they usually face in the process of translating the Bible into a new language. And one of those challenges was with some people where they were trying to find out a word for rain. And the problem was that those people didn't see rain all their lives. So they don't actually have this word. They don't actually know this word. So the translation team either has to bring up a new word, create a new word in this language, or they have to borrow this word from another language that is close or similar or has the same roots of this language. Some words are not available in every language and in every dictionary. And if this can be said, hopeless cannot be found in God's dictionary. This is not a word that can be identified with God or related to Him, because He is the God of hope. As you can see in your bulletin, the title of the sermon this morning is The God of Hope for the Hopeless. The God of Hope for the Hopeless. Today we will be looking to two miracles that are recorded in the Gospel of Mark together. As a matter of fact, you may think that one miracle was interrupted by the other, but it was a God-ordained interruption to heal two people who were hopeless without Christ. Even this miracle, or these two miracles, are also mentioned in Matthew 9 and Luke 8 in the same manner. Both miracles are tied together in the other Gospels as well. Our reading today is from Mark 5, verses 21 to 43. But before we read that, let us be reminded with the context, what was happening in the few weeks back, where we heard sermons from Pastor Serge and Pastor Anwar from Mark 4 and 5. In these two chapters, 4 and 5, we can see Jesus demonstrating His divine power. 2 weeks ago, we saw Him demonstrating His power over the raging storm. Last week, we saw Him demonstrating His power over demons by casting out a legion of demons. And today, we will see the power of Jesus where He demonstrated it over sickness and death. He healed an incurable sick woman and raised a little girl from the dead. So let us open our Bibles or follow on the screen from Mark 5. And verses 21 to or through 43. When Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around Him while He was by the sea. One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at His feet and begged Him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd was following and pressing against Him. Now, a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. On the contrary, she became worse. Having heard about Jesus, she came up behind Him in the crowd and touched His clothing. For she said, "If I just touch His clothes, I'll be made well." Instantly, her flow of blood ceased, and she sensed in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus realized that power had gone out from Him. He turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing against you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But he was looking around to see who had done this. The woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction." While he was still speaking, people came from the synagogue leader's house and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" When Jesus overheard what was said, he told the synagogue leader, "Don't be afraid, only believe." He did not let anyone accompany him except Peter, James, and John, James's brother. They came to the leader's house, and he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him. But he put them all outside. He took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the place where the child was. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which is translated, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl got up and began to walk. She was 12 years old. At this, they were utterly astounded. Then he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, we pray that through your word, you would teach us and you would remind us of the hope we have in Christ. And may this word today, Lord, bring hope in Christ for the hopeless between us. In his name we pray. Amen. Two miracles. Two stories that have many similarities, but also many differences. These two characters who came to Jesus do not know each other, and they have no relation with one another. One is a man, and the other is a woman. One is poor, and the other is rich. One is honored in the society or the community, and one is ashamed. One is respected, and the other one is rejected. One is a ruler in the synagogue, and the other one is excommunicated from the synagogue. One with a 12-year-old daughter dying, and one suffering from a 12-year-old disease. But despite all these differences, they have many similarities. That most probably, as we know, the scripture was inspired by the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit intended that these two miracles be tied together in the three Gospels. So as we go on, we will see each point and each truth, each principle and each application based on the two miracles tied together. So let us consider first that without Christ, we are all hopeless. Without Christ, we are all hopeless. These two stories reveal to us two hopeless cases. Humanly speaking, they were hopeless. The first was a father about to lose his little daughter. She was at the point of death. And later on, we discovered that she actually died. The second one was a woman who had continuous bleeding for 12 years, endured much, spent all, and was not helped at all. And Luke adds that she could not be healed by any. Luke, the doctor. This is from a medical perspective. She wasn't cured by any. Two hopeless cases. In the first miracle, Jairus, a leader in the synagogue, a well-respected man, ruler, having authority, most probably having wealth and all what wealth can bring, and also maybe the medical help is needed to help his own daughter, but he couldn't help her. Not with his connections, not with his money, not with anything. Even Mark records the way in which this ruler came. Jairus came up and on seeing him, fell at Jesus' feet and implored him earnestly, or begged him earnestly, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her." He was asking not with authority, but with humility. For he knew that he was hopeless, and only Jesus could heal his daughter. Probably because of the many healings that Jesus did so far. So he heard that Jesus is in town. So the only hope is that I have is if Jesus comes, my daughter will be made well. He came as not as a ruler, but as a hopeless father. And by the way, Luke tells us that this was his only daughter. He didn't have many daughters. He had one daughter. Imagine with me the joy that this girl brought to her family, to her house, especially to her father. But one day, this father is about to lose his only daughter. Later in the story, his only daughter dies. Hopeless case. Death is a heavy word when it is followed by the name of someone we love. The second miracle, another hopeless case. Now we have a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years. Not only that she endured much and spent all her money, but she was not helped at all. And Mark ends this by saying, on the contrary, she became worse. Even more, in the NASB translation, it says that she endured much at the hands of many physicians. Doctors who should have helped her to improve, to be healed, made her worse. This bleeding would have caused her to lose strength in her body, losing blood all the time, to be in continuous danger of losing her own life, to be in desperate situation. But above all that, she had to be separated from everyone for 12 years. Because as per the law in Leviticus 15, a bleeding woman was to be considered unclean as long as she is bleeding. So she wasn't allowed to touch anyone or anything or be touched by anyone. Because as if she touches anyone, the uncleanliness is transmitted to the other person. And if she touches anything, this thing will become unclean. For 12 years, pain, suffering, weakness in her body, insulated and ashamed from everyone, losing all her money without any cure, hopeless. Without Christ, these two would have remained hopeless, only without Christ. And because of these two stories and these two characters, we are reminded of the sorrow that sin has brought into our world. Both stories reveal sickness, pain, suffering, shame, fear, and death. And this is what sin has brought to our lives. Second, we are reminded that sin has made us all unclean. We are all unclean. We are all defiled before a holy and a righteous God. And third, we are all hopeless without Christ. Without the salvation and the redemption we have in Him, we are all hopeless. But thank God, this word cannot be related to Him because He is the God of hope. This is why we move to our second point. Only faith in Christ brings real hope for the hopeless. Only faith in Christ brings real hope for the hopeless. In the first miracle, Jairus comes and says to Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Come and lay your hands on her so that she can get well and live." He was able to see what would happen if Jesus came. He was able to see that his daughter was not only sick but was dying, and if Jesus comes, she gets well and live. This man knew already that if Jesus didn't come, his daughter will die. After hearing the bad news that his daughter has died, Jesus directly responds to this man's heart and says to him, "Do not be afraid, only believe." Do not be afraid, only believe. When everyone thought that this was the end of the story, a hopeless case, Jesus brings hope, real hope. How comforting to hear these words in your suffering coming from Christ. Only believe, have faith. The second miracle, after the woman heard that Jesus is in town, she came to him and she was thinking that if I just touch his clothes, I'll be made well. Very similar faith. But not if Jesus comes, or if Jesus accepts my invitation, or would touch me because I'm unclean, but if I just touch his clothes, his garment, I'll be made well. This is a special kind of faith. Even Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." In the first miracle, Jairus came with faith and was encouraged to have more faith. And the second miracle took place because of the woman's faith. But this would raise a big question that is so present more than ever in the evangelical world today: faith and healing. Is it every time that I have faith, similar to this woman or to this father, that Jesus will intervene as I would want him to be, to do? Many Christians believe that your healing only needs faith. Only needs faith. If you just believe, truly believe, and ask by faith, God will heal you. And if you pray and God doesn't answer your prayer as you would want him to do, the problem is in you. Maybe your faith is weak. Maybe you have sin that is unconfessed. But this is not an accurate way in understanding God's word and God's dealings with his children. Because there's another belief, which is more faithful to Scripture, which reveals us that God is still powerful. He still does miracles. But it's not based only on our faith. It's based on him also. It's based on his plan, his will, his goodness, his mercy, and most importantly, his love. If God didn't hear your prayer for healing, believe that God has a better good. God has a better good for a better good. And this we can see from Scripture, from Paul. Let me read to you what was written about Paul the Apostle in Acts. It is written that God was performing extraordinary miracles by his hands, by Paul's hands, so that even cloths or aprons that had touched his skin were brought to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Paul healed many, but Paul left his beloved disciple, Timothy, unhealed. And instead of healing him, he said, "Drink some wine for your stomach and your frequent illnesses." Also, Paul had a thorn in the flesh that he pleaded with the Lord to take it out, but God said, "No, my strength will be shown in your weakness. My grace will be sufficient in your suffering. God still wants us to believe. But to believe what? That He is good, He is wise, He is loving, and He is sovereign. Even if He didn't answer your prayer as you would like Him to do, even if you persisted in prayer for weeks and months and maybe years, He still wants you to have faith. But faith in who He is and not what He gives. And there's a big difference between the two. Faith in who He is and not what He gives. Faith like Job. Job, after he lost everything. He lost his sons, his daughters, his donkeys, oxen, camels, his health. We see that after all those took place, Job fell to the ground and worshiped the Lord, saying, "The Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be blessed. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And there is a very encouraging story that is similar for a pastor and Bible teacher who, when he was 30 years old, him and his wife lost their little daughter in death. 40 years later, when he was preaching on Christ raising Jairus' daughter, he made reference to the loss of his little girl, who, in spite of their prayers, he says, she wasn't healed. He said, she has been with Jesus for all those years. And here we were measuring every day, and I have missed her every day. But his word, the word of Jesus, "only believe," has been the strength of all the passing years. 6 months after his daughter died, he wrote in his diary, "Today I'm 31 years old. Surely goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. There have been no accidents, all under the Father's government, and all the best." He knew the sustaining grace of the Lord, but he also felt his loss every day for the rest of his life. Although he was a godly man, he wasn't insulated from experiencing deep sorrow over his loss. Like him, faith means that we should trust in our Father's goodness, wisdom, sovereignty, and love, and find hope only in Him. And this is where we go to our third point. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only hope for the hopeless. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only hope for the hopeless. First miracle that we have saw is huge. The Gospels are full of miracles of healing, but only 3 times it is mentioned that Jesus raised someone from the dead. This little daughter, Nain's widow son, the son of Nain's widow, and Lazarus. This is huge, raising someone from the dead. But if we look to this miracle from Jesus' perspective, if we put ourselves in his shoes, we will be shocked for how calm he was in doing it and how glorious. I don't know if you have any, if you ever watched Formula One, even for just some time. If you watch Formula One, most of the time you will be able to see the racetrack with many cars from far. But sometimes the director chooses to put you in the driver's seat to experience what he is experiencing. The intensity of the race, the sound of the engine, how intense it is. So if we do the same now and put ourselves in the driver's seat from Jesus' perspective, we read that Jesus did not let anyone accompany him. Simply after the woman was healed, he goes with this man and says to John, Peter, and James, "Only you come with me." And then he goes to this man's house. And he sees people wailing and weeping. And Mark says, loudly, loudly. And surprisingly, he says, and very calmly, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead. She's asleep. So they laughed at him. Okay, you're laughing? Out. Really? He brought everyone out. Only her father, her mother, and the three who were with him could enter into the child's room. She was dead. Medically, there was nothing that can be done. No medicine, no cure, nothing would bring her back to life, but only the author of life. And so Jesus said, little girl, I say to you, get up. Very similar to what Jesus did with Lazarus and the son of Nain's widow. And immediately, instantly, in a moment, the girl gets up and begins to walk. And everyone is shocked. So he says, no one should know about this. Now give her something to eat. As simple as that. Jesus was super calm because he is the Son of God. He is the author of life. He can give life with a touch, with a word. Instantly, immediately, the girl responded to him and rose from the dead. Luke adds that her spirit returned. And she not only stood up, but she began to walk, which means that her strength returned, as well as her life, immediately. And in the second miracle, we see the same timing by which the woman was healed. Again, just when she touched his garments, immediately the flow of her blood ceased, was dried up. And Mark says that she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. The thing that she had sought in vain for 12 years was done in a moment. The cure that many physicians could not bring was brought in an instant of time. She felt in her body that she was healed. This woman was suffering for 12 years. So definitely, in that moment, she felt something different. Maybe a strength that came back that she has lost many years ago. She knew in her body that she was healed. What a joy. This is a solid proof of the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who has the power over creation to say to the storm, be still? Who has the power over demons to cast them out in a word immediately? Who has the power to bring someone from the dead in an instant of time? Who has the power to give healing to an incurable sick woman? Only God, and Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only hope for the hopeless. J.C. Ryle comments on this immediate healing and miracle and relates it to the way that the gospel does to our own hearts and souls. I want to read his quote to you. It's a bit long, so we thought of putting it on the screen to you. And so he says, this shows the relief that the gospel brings to the soul. The experience of many who are weary has been exactly like that of this woman with her disease. How many years were spent in sorrow, in search of peace with God, and failed to find it? How many earthly remedies we tried but obtained no relief? We became wearied going from one place to another and church to church and felt, after all, nothing better but worse. But at last, we have found rest. And where? Where this woman found hers in Jesus Christ. We have ceased from our own works. We came to Christ himself as humble sinners and committed our lives to his mercy. And at once, the burden has fallen from off our shoulders. Heaviness is turned to joy and anxiety to peace. This is what one touch of real faith can do for the soul. One look at Jesus is more effectuous than any other medicine. May we never forget this to our dying day. Amen. Allow me to add that we still live in a world with many sorrows and pain. But when Jesus will come again to conquer and to reign, in a moment, in a split second, all our sorrows will be turned into eternal joy. I believe that this woman not only was healed from her physical illness, she was also eternally saved. You might say, how can we know that? Look at the words that Jesus said to her. First, he said to her, daughter. She was unclean for many years. She wasn't allowed to touch or be touched by anyone. And now she is called by the Son of God, daughter. Second, he says to her, your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you, has healed you. Not only physically, but also spiritually. And then he says to her, go in peace. Okay, let's imagine that this woman was healed physically, but not eternally. She will definitely rejoice for this for many days and even weeks. But she will never be able to live in peace if she is still not reconciled with God. How can she live in peace even if she was good, in a good health all her life? But eternally, she will face God in his judgment. She will never be able to find peace. But Jesus says to her, go in peace. You are physically and spiritually saved and healed. Look with me to his words when he responded to her. He said, who touched my garments? As a first impression, we might think that Jesus was very serious. Jesus was very rude. Jesus was saying this with a loud voice, like, who dare touch my clothes? But we can see that this wasn't the way that he did that. And the reason is the words that he said to her afterwards. Jesus wanted everyone to know about this woman, that now she is a daughter and she is clean. And more importantly, he wanted her to know that now she is a daughter and she can live in peace. The woman came fearing and trembling. You might think that she should have come rejoicing. She's healed. But she most probably thought, the only explanation is that she thought that if Jesus is asking that, this means that I should have not come. I don't deserve that. And this is true. She doesn't deserve that. This is why it's all by grace. It's all by grace. These two miracles reveal to us that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the only hope for the hopeless. I hope that you have been amazed by the power of Jesus to heal and to give life. But let me tell you that Christ has not changed till today. Since that day when this woman was healed or the little girl was raised, Jesus till today is still gracious and mighty to save. He is still gracious and mighty to save. If you are hopeless this morning, if your sin is so heavy, I have good news for you. There is hope in Christ. There is real hope, true hope, eternal hope. As these two needed Christ for their physical healing, you need Christ for your spiritual healing. Your sins are so great. Your sins have separated you from God. You need to be reconciled with the Father, and there is no reconciliation but through Christ alone. Jesus took our judgment on the cross. So I ask you this morning, I invite you this morning, come to Jesus with the same faith that the woman had. And I assure you that you will be made well, just like her. Come to him humbly like Jairus, knowing that you have nothing to give, but you will receive everything in him. Come with faith. Come confessing your hopelessness, begging for mercy, and he will give you rest. Jesus in John 6:40 said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." He will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. If Jesus was able to raise this girl after a few hours, and Lazarus after 4 days, he is able to raise us up on that day. And as believers, there's also hope. We can be reminded this morning with the hope that we have in Christ. We have a Savior who took our sins. We have a friend in this wilderness. We have a high priest who is able to help those who are tempted and weary, because he was tempted in every way and he was victorious. We have light in our darkness. We have an advocate at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. We have the judge of the world who will not condemn us, but he was judged because he was judged in our place. We have the faithful Son who promised us, "If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." So if you are hopeless this morning, there is hope, and only in Christ. You may want to pray or to sing with the psalmist and say, "Why, my soul, are you so dejected? Why are you in such turmoil? Put your hope in God. I will still praise him, my Savior and my God." Amen. Let us pray. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we praise you, our Savior and our God. We give thanks to you for the hope that you have given to us after we were all hopeless. We ask you to work through your word in our hearts. May many come to your knowledge this morning and be reconciled to you through Christ and delight in the hope that we have in you. May we also be reminded that we have a true, living, and an everlasting hope in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.